following is a production of Nightrain Media.
From the door, don't let the hickey in, because there might be more if you hollow. Don't let the hickey follow. Unless you got to jump like the gators do. Jump, don't be in the cold room. The jing-dang dog is a jumping dive. Make you like your egg on the Jersey side. Hep, 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 hep. On the metal side.
Good morning. You're listening to KGU NBC Radio in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. Time now is 7:54 a.m. Here's one for the boys on the Pearl.
Malakalikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway.
One moment, please.
1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, NBC. Hello, NBC. This is KGU in Honolulu, Hawaii.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin. The Japanese have attacked Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, by air, President Roosevelt has just announced. The attack also was made on all naval and military activities on the principal island of Oahu.
Darkness, the minesweeper Condor sees a periscope near the harbor. On choppy seas 235 miles north of Hawaii, Japanese aircraft carriers turn into the wind and their warplanes take off. Destination, Pearl Harbor. A destroyer aims its guns at a submarine and fires the first shots of the U.S.-Japanese war. Destroyer Ward sends an astonishing message to headquarters. Submarine attack at entrance to Pearl Harbor. On a lonely Oahu hilltop, radar operators report probably more than 50 planes, 132 miles away and heading for Hawaii. The Ward's report, submarine attack, moves with agonizing slowness through the peacetime Navy. Radar operators tell of the swarm of aircraft, but an officer shrugs it off. From the nation's capital comes a warning, but it is sent by slow commercial telegraph. An hour and a half after takeoff, the undetected Japanese pilots sight Kahuku Point, the northern tip of Oahu. Over Pearl Harbor, attack commander Mitsuo Fuchida counts 7 battleships, but no aircraft carriers, the ships he has come to destroy. The Japanese attack begins. Bombers, and more bombers. Torpedo plane after torpedo plane. Heading for Pearl Harbor this Sunday morning are 12 B-17 Flying Fortresses on a 14-hour flight from California. An armor-piercing bomb rips into the Arizona. More than 1 million pounds of gunpowder explode in a hellish fireball. Dashing from the flames and smoke of Pearl Harbor, the destroyer helm spots a midget submarine. The destroyer Monahan, speeding out of the harbor, rams a midget submarine and riddles it with gunfire. As survivors on other wrecked ships cheer her on, the battered Nevada heads toward the open sea. Still reeling. reeling from the devastating attack, the men and women of Pearl Harbor look up to see a new wave of Japanese planes overhead. Bombers in the second wave attack ships in dry dock. Though almost helpless, the dry dock ships fight back. Mission accomplished. Most Japanese planes return to their carriers. As the Japanese planes disappear, Pearl Harbor tends to the wounded, the dying, and the dead. The strike force turns toward Japan. Pearl Harbor, a Japanese pilot says, is in flame and smoke, gasping helplessly.
December 7, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Frequency freaks, I am Commander Claymore Fury, and this is Urgent Frequency for the week of Sunday, December 5th, 2010. This week we finally have some hard dates for you regarding Urgent Fury's next big TACMAT tournament event, Urgent Fury Cold War. The final TACMAT tournament for the PlayStation 3 SOCOM U.S. Navy SEALs confrontation, which acts as Chapter 1 of Urgent Fury's massive year-long end-of-days storyline. Plus, Samuel Doc Costanin III stops by to give us a glimpse into the world of the PlayStation Network's The Tester Season 2. All that plus Disneyland After Dark, the only podcast that comes with a complimentary TSA pat-down. This is Urgent Frequency.
Hey, this is your boy Doc from The Tester, and you're listening to Urgent Frequency only on UrgentFury.com.
I am Commander Claymore Fury for UrgentFury.com. The brave men and women in our nation's armed forces made a commitment to protect us and our freedoms. Many will come home with missing limbs, severe burns, or traumatic brain injuries. The Wounded Warrior Project was created to help and support these injured heroes through programs and services that help make their recoveries that much easier. Regardless of your position on the war, our wounded veterans deserve our support. To learn more, call 1-877-TEAM-WWP. That's 1-877-832-6997. Or visit WoundedWarriorProject.org. Hoo-yah!
There are times when you have so much to say, just so little time.
Excuse me, what?
Good thing there's Twitter. We got you covered with the latest and the most talked about topics, 140 characters at a time. Follow us on Twitter.
Available to download free from the PlayStation Network.
You'll be playing Gran Turismo 5.
The testers get behind the wheel.
Damn it!
Then hit the track.
All right, testers, to the starting line.
But before the race, they gotta stuff their face.
Chew like your life depended on it. Swallow as hard as you can.
Go! Like gagging and coughing. I have no problem eating monkey balls.
And Scooter hatches a plan to get rid of physique.
I think it's about time that we need to just step up.
Everything he was saying is true, that he does not deserve to be here.
Dude, why are you letting this get to you?
Because you're getting to me because you don't want this as much as everyone else. Now, if no one else is going to back me up on this, then he's going to stay here and someone else is going to lose.
I can't believe this. Everybody's against me.
Download Episode 6 this week from the PlayStation Store and be automatically entered into the drawing for the Tester Limited Edition PS3 system and the Gran Turismo Collector's Edition. Details available at thetester.com. Download new episodes of The Tester from the PlayStation Network.
What is Urgent Fury?
Urgent Fury is the hottest tactical gaming community in the world and is unlike any other tournament or ladder site on the World Wide Web. In addition to the handful of ongoing tournament events that run year-round in Urgent Fury, Urgent Fury is also home to the Urgent Fury exclusive scenario-based TAC map tournament event. Based on a popular childhood board game and an original story or theme for each event, armies or clans battle one another for actual physical territory in a last clan standing firefight for the right to be called Urgent Fury Champions. This is Urgent Fury. Urgent Fury is invitation only. Urgent Fury is a zero-tolerance, cheater-free gaming community with only two rules. One, win with honor. Two, lose with dignity. Every clan, down to the last shooter, must be approved before participating in any Urgent Fury tournament event. This is Urgent Fury. Urgent Fury is growing. To complement its tactical gaming roots, Urgent Fury has recently launched the Urgent Fury Gaming League, or UFGL, a place for gamers who play more than shooter titles to compete with each other. Urgent Fury style. This is Urgent Fury. Urgent Fury is connected. Urgent Fury networks with the gaming industry to provide its members with the latest gaming news. Urgent Fury is the home of Urgent Frequency, its bi-weekly podcast hosted by Commander Claymore Fury, and Urgent Frequency TV, hosted by Jack UK DeSantos. This is Urgent Fury. Urgent Fury is integrity, honor, elite, competition, intensity, dignity, explosive, amazing. This is Urgent Fury. Put your clan on the radar. Visit www.urgentfury.com today to take your game to the next level. This is not the other guys. This is not for the faint of heart. This is competition. This is honor. This is dignity. This is Urgent Fury.
Sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
He is a firefighter, a paramedic, a reality show runner-up, a husband, and he is a gamer. While most of the world knows him as Doc, the rest of the world knows him as Samuel Castanin III. He joins us once again via Skype from his home in the Pacific Northwest. Doc, welcome, sir, once again to Urgent Frequency.
Oh, yeah, dude. I was wearing my Urgent Frequency hat today, actually. I wear it quite often.
I've actually got some more Urgent Frequency stuff, and I should probably just put it in a box and send it to you.
Yeah, I want the picture of the chick, dude.
We will get you a picture of... Everybody asks me who that is. I'm not really sure. I think it looks like Portia de Rossi, or I should say Portia DeGeneres.
Yeah, no doubt, huh?
What's going on, man? It's been a couple of months since we've actually got to hang out. We've talked to each other a couple of times in the last little bit, but you've been busy, dude.
Oh man, I've been busy beyond busy.
When last we spoke, you had survived some kind of heart situation.
Yeah, they discovered a genetic defect that is 90% fatal, and it goes undiagnosed through the military, the fire department, and then I'm, believe it or not, I'm playing video games, and it hits me.
That's crazy.
And, yeah, so it was an easy fix. No big deal. Heart surgery, you know, in and out, I'm done.
Yeah, so, but you're okay, though. I mean,
yeah, I'm fine. I'm actually better than I was before.
Wow. Maybe they hooked up some cybertronics inside of you now, and now maybe you're like a perfect killing machine or something.
As long as they give me an SD slot, I'd be good to go.
I know that you've started doing your own podcast.
Right. I'm at gamerindepth.com. My podcast is Replay with Doc. We partnered with Sony, specifically PlayStation Home. You know, it's been basically, it's my own. I can do whatever I want, which is awesome. You know, we have guests on, and usually it's a simple format. We talk about the PlayStation update. We have a guest. We talk about a new game and an old game, do a bunch of shout outs, and we're out the door.
Well, I've got to ask you this. Who is I think this is Foxy Moxie.
Yes, yes, that's Foxy Moxie, and that's her FXY MXY. You'll find her on Twitter too. That's my co-host for Replay with Doc, and I fished her out of the tester pool for season two. She was a contestant on the website, and you know, she's not bad to look at, and you know, she's actually a hella PC gamer. She swears like a sailor, talks crap like any good gamer, and loves the game. So it's like, you know, it was a good pair up.
Right on. Speaking of season two, I guess at the time of this conversation, are we on week six? Does that sound right?
Yes. Yeah, week six is, we're just on the cusp of week six.
Any surprises thus far, halfway through the season? Have you seen anything, and has anything surprised you so far?
Yes, actually, episode six that's going to be airing this week is going to surprise everybody. Unfortunately, I can't say why. You guys, this is, if you've just barely watched any of the episodes or haven't really tuned in, this would be the episode to tune into, because you're going to see tester history happen in this episode.
Wow. So they need to get to PlayStation Network right now. Is the episode available now, or is it available next week?
No, it'll be available Tuesday. It drops Tuesday.
So you guys get ready Tuesday and download the current episode of The Tester Season 2. Okay, man, let's talk a little bit about the podcast. What exactly are you doing on the podcast, and why should everybody listen? Besides the fact that you're the host of the podcast.
Well, if they're listening in because I'm the host, I hope they up their values later and find something more constructive with their time. But it's pretty much broken down into my we're on a break right now because of the holidays for my usual weekly podcast, because we're kind of burning both ends of the candles, because right now we're focusing all on interviews for season two of The Tester. I'm exclusive with each member as they get ejected from the house. I interview them, and I get the first interview with them, and it goes into Theater 8 in the home community theater in PlayStation Home. So when you guys are done watching the episode, you can go right next door and watch Replay with Doc on the big screen with the people that were booted.
Oh my God. See, that must suck. That's like what was his name? Jim Gray, the guy that used to work for CBS Sports. I don't know if he still works, but he was always the guy that went to the losing locker room.
Yeah.
And I always thought, man, that would be the worst job, to have to be the guy that goes to the losing locker room. But who are some of your picks from the season two cast?
First of all, out of the original group that I picked from the website, Cheska made it to the set, and I'm still rooting for her. Some of my favorites: Cheska, Mo Chocolate, Scooter are some of my tops. Gamer, which is funny, it's G-A-Y-M-E-R, Gamer, is a strong contestant as well. Those are definitely my favorites. As far as interviewing, an interview that really stands out is this guy Maxim, right? This guy, when you look at him, you're thinking, oh, this is a frat boy, which he is. And turns out that the guy games on the crap box, doesn't even own a PS3, and the guy's a complete paid actor.
What?
Yeah, the guy is a complete paid actor. He has his own website, and I'm not going to throw it out there because you people do not need to see it.
Okay. Maybe I understand what you're saying now. Are you saying what I think you're saying?
Yeah.
Wow. Holy paid actor, Batman. That's crazy. Do you have somebody pick? Like, who's going to win this whole thing, do you think?
I can't pick, you know, just one person. I have a group of people that I like. I'm still voting for Cheska. Cheska's still one of my favorite contestants, because she is, you know, I got a thing for girl gamers, and she's definitely a gamer.
Also, when last you were here, man, we were hanging out with Brian and all this other stuff, and you actually did some Shakespeare for us, man. Speaking of acting, I hope you're not doing the kind of acting that Maxim is doing. But what about you, man? Have you done any summer stock or anything since?
You know, I wanted to so badly, because, you know, I did 8 years of Shakespeare in my life, and Shakespeare is hard to do. It's time consuming. And, you know, that's something you either do well or you do badly. There's no middle ground. You cannot be mediocre with Shakespeare. And I have 8 years under my belt, and I've been dying to get out there and and do some more, but just the time and games. And I think the game industry, I think they release games purposely to keep me from working.
What games are you playing, man? Since we first met each other at E3, I would imagine that most of the games that we saw at E3 have dropped by now. Any games that have impressed you? Any games that have disappointed you? What's in Doc's PS3 right now?
In the actual PS3 right now is Black Ops.
Or Cod Blops, as I like to call it.
Exactly. And, I love the first-person shooters. It's just this game, for me, overall, just gets a fail. The kill streaks are just ridiculous. It is, they took out some of the aspects that made it fun, like Spec Ops. There's no Spec Ops on there. So, if you want to hop in with a buddy, the only thing you're going to be able to do one-on-one is combat training or a private match. That's it.
Or zombies. You can play zombies.
Zombies. And for those of you that got the Prestige Edition, you got the extra zombie maps. And for those of you guys that don't know, there's a code out there to get the zombie Dead Ops Arcade. And for anyone that's ever played Gauntlet or Metal Slug or Contra or any of those OG games, man, Dead Ops Arcade, you are going to have a ball with, or two.
We talked a little bit before the interview, and I too am very disappointed in the fact that there's no Black Ops or Spec Ops, because that was definitely one of my favorite parts of the last game. And I know it's two different studios, but I just felt like that was such a successful thing. I've got some times, and I told you this, I got some times I'll put up with anybody out there. So
I'll tell you some of the games that have impressed me. The Fight, Lights Out. That is a workout and an ass kicking all rolled into one. It's like a RPG fighter. And it's got Danny Trejo in it, which is, he's been all sorts of bit acting all over. He got his own movie, Machete.
But, I was going to say, that's the Rodriguez Latino superhero.
He's your trainer in the game. So you use two move controllers and you got to fight. You literally have to fight. And so that impressed me, because it actually made me put my beer down. I had to use both hands. And there's the racing game, the new Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. I was a big fan of the old series. I still have all my old discs of Need for Speed and the original cases, all of them, all the way back to PS1. And so I got to play the time trials at E3, but I didn't get to play the cop mode. Man, the cop mode is just ridiculous. You can call in a chopper. You can throw spike strips. You're pitting guys. You're setting up roadblocks. The frame rate is ridiculous, because it seems like they used all the Burnout series to build up to using that engine with the new Need for Speed Hot Pursuit. And it really puts up there. And the wall, with the way you can post with your scores, I mean, you know instantly if your buddies beat your score, because it puts it right up in front of your face, right on your message board, your auto log. And it's like, yeah, your buddy beat your time by 2 seconds. It's like, and he can post right on your wall. It's like, yeah, I smoked your time. What are you going to do now?
You know what? I've seen some screens of that, and I'm like you. I didn't actually get to play it at E3, but I did get to look over everybody's shoulder. But I do have my little Need for Speed badge. Did you get the badge?
Yeah, I still have mine.
Yeah, I got my little copper badge. And so the thing that surprises me is I've seen some really good video of Need for Speed up against Gran Turismo 5. And I've got to say, I know this sounds crazy, because GT has basically set the bar in terms of photorealistic, the whole racing package. I mean, they've definitely set the bar. But I've got to say, in terms of visuals, I haven't played either game, but just in terms of visuals, I think Need for Speed is right up there with Gran Turismo 5.
Yeah, I agree with that also. It's so fast, and GT5 doesn't speed along like Need for Speed does. The frame rates aren't there, but the style is there. So you get more taken away with the style of the game versus the speed of it. And it's a huge competitor. Oh, another thing from E3 I got to play. I was in the Killzone 3 beta.
How's that shaping up?
That is awesome, man. You know, there was a level where you could jump in the mechs and run around in mechs in these five of your guys on the ground, and then like three mechs in the area. There's snow, there's water, it's got the visual style of GT5, but a shooter.
Wow.
That's the only way I could describe it. It's like a GT5 shooter because it just looks great. And the way they implement the thermoptic camouflage. So, you know, you get thermoptic camouflage and you can stay undercover longer as you progress and upgrade your thermoptic camouflage. So you could literally, if you don't move, you could sit and snipe for a very, very long time.
I've been a huge fan of the whole Killzone thing since the beginning. And again, I didn't get to play it. I got to see a lot of other people playing it, particularly in 3D. It probably would have looked a lot cooler to me if I would have had the glasses on. But from what I could see at E3, it's a phenomenal looking game. I can't wait to play it personally.
You know, I got to tell you, so I'm at the press conference for Sony at E3, right? Me and Nauseous are sitting together. We got literal front row seats, but we sat up in the balcony in the middle because we wanted to get the whole scope of it in, right? And we have these 3D glasses, and then here comes Killzone 3 in 3D. Everybody's screaming. Dude, I was born without the capability to see 3D.
What?
Yeah.
That can't possibly. Is that true? I'm going to have to get our medical experts on this because. So you can't enjoy the 3D effect. That's.
No, that's why I did so well in the military for stationary shooting, because I don't have depth perception. I have depth perception that I've acquired because I physically move through my environment and I know how to judge distance, but I don't have depth perception like most people have with 3D vision.
So people don't go hunting with you, is what you're saying, because they you see, that explains the whole Dick Cheney thing, man. He just doesn't have any depth perception.
Not having depth perception makes you a better marksman because you're not judging. The distance isn't a factor. It's just literally the image in front of you.
Oh, see, I'm getting depth perception and peripheral vision. I'm getting those two things confused. You were talking about being at the Sony press conference. I think, of course, I didn't get to go. I had to stand out in the parking garage at USC while you guys were in the air-conditioned building with Kevin Butler. One of the biggest moments of I can't believe we're still talking about it in December, but one of the biggest moments of the press conference, according to Shane, was he was just nuts when the ice cream truck came out for Twisted Metal. If there's a game that I'm looking forward to, I got to say, it's the reboot of Twisted Metal. I just can't wait to see that game.
You know, it's funny. I was talking to Jaffe the other day.
Oh, you call him Jaffe? Do you call it, or Mr. Do you call him Mr. Jaffe? Or
I just call him Jaff or David.
Dave. Don't call him Dave. But anyway, you were talking to Jaffe.
I was like, hey, Jaff, remember when we were at E3 and I was talking to you? And because I don't know if I told you, there's an interview I did with Jaffe on YouTube. Did I tell you about that?
No. Tell me more about this interview.
Oh, we're both drunk, dude.
Is that possible?
Jeffy and I are both drunk, and I'm like, hey, can I get an interview? And he's like, yeah, sure, I owe you one for lying to you. And I was like, oh, so I'll shoot you the link for that. So I was like, hey, Jeff, remember we were at E3, and I was like, hey, are you sure you never want to do Twisted Metal because it's like one of my favorite series? And he's like, no, I'm working on something different. And then after the press, you know, I'm at the press conference, and where I'm sitting, I can see partially behind stage, and I start elbowing Nauseous, and I'm like, hey, look, dude, it's ice cream truck. And he's like, no, it isn't. I'm like, look, it's we don't. And the ice cream truck came out. We start just going off like little girls at a Bieber concert, man.
Now I am as happy as a little girl.
And and I saw Jaffe. He's like, yeah, I lied to you.
Actually, a couple of games I'm excited about. Ghost Recon Future Soldier. I hate to say it. I'm not a big fan of the Ghost Recon thing. But this Future Soldier, man, I don't know if you've seen any trailers or anything, but
I have.
That game looks pretty phenomenal. What else are you doing, man? I know you said you're kind of taking a break from the podcast for a little while. What else you got going on in the very near future? You're taking your wife on vacation, and then what are you doing?
Exactly. And then I'm going to I've already renegotiated my contract. I'll be signing a new contract with Sony here pretty soon so they can keep me on a tighter leash. Just more stuff with the podcast, stuff that I'm working with Sony I can't talk about yet, because Sony, if people don't understand, NDAs and embargoes are the worst things ever. No, just I don't have anything in the future. I'll definitely be hitting E3 again this year, but I'm just going to keep forward with the podcast. Well, you know, Replay with Doc is the official podcast of season 2 of The Tester, and that's pretty smooth.
What about your firefighter gig, man? Are you still?
I left the fire department.
Just didn't have time, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. That ended my 13 years as a firefighter, but I am still on my ambulance. I still do a regular rotation. I work Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, every other Wednesday. So I'm still working on my ambulance. And when I'm not actually poking, you know, people with needles and plugging up holes and taking people out of vehicles and whatnot, I'm texting about gaming. I'm talking about gaming, or I get game news right to my phone, and I'm reading about gaming.
It's probably been the last 3 or 4 weeks. We've been trying to get together and do this interview, and I can, man, it's, I don't even know how you have time for anything or anybody, sir. I just don't know.
Yeah, my wife starts to wonder that too. She's like, I don't, she goes, I like you. I don't like Doc.
You know, it's definitely a passion, and listen, man, I appreciate you. I know you had to take some time out from your date night to hang out with me, and so give our regards to Mrs. Doc and all that other stuff. And we are going to do, I think next time we're going to have, back in June, right after E3, we kind of had a State of the Union of Gaming. I don't know if you're going to be around in a couple of weeks, but I think we're going to have revisit the State of the Union of Gaming, because a lot of the predictions I think that we made back then have definitely come true. But anyway, we're going to do this. We're going to try to do this State of the Union of Gaming. Maybe
I'd love to take part in that, man. The only thing right now, gaming wise, besides Dead Space, that I'm looking forward to Dead Space coming out, is if I don't get that, if I don't get the f***ing new SOCOM in my hands, I'm going to really f***ing shoot somebody.
Yeah, and you're preaching to the choir, sir, because I'm telling you, look, what we played at E3, this is what I told everybody. I'll let you tell everybody right now what you think of it, but even if the game is just as good as it was at E3, and not any better than that, it's already way better than Confrontation. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I actually saw Confrontation for $8 at Walmart in the bargain bin. Still too much. Still too much.
You know, I gave that game a chance, man. I really, really did. And let's face it, you know, when we talked about it, Zipper stepped away from that game, and that's why Confrontation isn't as good as the other SOCOMs, in my opinion, because Zipper right. just wasn't really a part of it. And the Z was on the box, I think, but they didn't have anything to do with the game, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know. I would rather wait 2 more years and get something that's complete, as opposed to get a game that's just, you know, incomplete right. and got a bunch of holes in it. Listen, thanks for coming by again, man. Thanks for hanging out. Again, I know you had to put some plans on hold, so I appreciate you taking the time, man. Give it to us one more time. I know you gave it to us at the beginning, but give it to us one more time. Where do we need to go to find you on the triple dubs, sir?
You can go to gamer-indepth.com/replay-with-doc, or you can just go to gamerindepth.com. Go to the goodie bag and bam, drop down and find all my episodes, Replay Block, all the way down to the first one. You can find me in PlayStation Theater 8. You'll find Replay with Doc. And after the tester is done, you're going to be able to catch more episodes of me in there, because I've signed up to do more. So it'll be just past the tester. And I just, if you go to Gamer in Depth, go to the goodie bag, you'll see I did an interview with the developer of Section 8. It's not a whopping game, you know, it's just another branch off of another Halo, but it's from the same makers, basically. There's people that are trying to make quality games, and there's so much that goes into making these games people don't understand. When you get a finished game that you are happy with, there's a lot that went into that, and you guys should appreciate that. So give props to the developers.
And what about Twitter? They can find you, what, Doc_Gamer?
That's right. You can find Doc_Gamer, and if for some reason I'm out to lunch, you can always leave a message with Foxy Moxie, FXY, MXY, on Twitter as well. Go ahead, tell her Doc sent
you. You know, maybe next time you should bring Foxy Moxie with you, sir.
You know what? I think that'd be a great idea, man.
Listen, if I don't talk to you, and then I don't know how you celebrate, but have yourself a merry little Christmas and all that good stuff. Take care of you and yours, and thanks for hanging out with us, man.
No problem, man. My pleasure.
Well, that just about does it for us, but before we go, Urgent Fury Command wanted me to remind you that you have until midnight, Tuesday, December 7th, to get your clan signed up for Urgent Fury Cold War. Clans will be announced on Wednesday, December 8th. And the first war meeting will take place on Sunday, December 12th. Urgent Fury Command also confirmed this week that there is a forthcoming TACMAP tournament event scheduled for Call of Duty Black Ops for the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox, and that it could launch as early as January of 2011. Stay tuned for more details as they become available. Send your questions, comments, and or suggestions to me, Commander Fury, at Commander Fury at Urgent Fury. com. Don't forget to network with us via Twitter, Facebook, the official Urgent Fury blog, Urgent Fury Unleashed, and on our web channel at YouTube.com. Urgent Frequency is produced by Urgent Fury Holdings, and here in the studio by Allison Armstrong. Please help us support the Wounded Warrior Project. I'm Commander Fury. Keep your feet wet and your powder dry. Hoo-yah!